Ladies and gentlemen, scrummages and drop goal trainers, welcome to the most prestigious, most necessary, and absolutely most credible award ceremony in the world of rugby. The Two Cents Gets Distracted Rugby Podcast presents the 4th Annual 2CGDs. Tonight, we celebrate the highest of highs, the lowest of lows, and moments so confusing even the TMO needed a lie down and a Panadol. So strap in, grab a beverage, and polish your balls. And welcome in your host, Mark Morgan from Two Cents Rugby, and that guy is known in South Africa as that arsehole in the hat.
Oh, the groans of an old man.
That's right. Well, you know what? Nothing says glitz and glam like two men wearing blazers and shorts.
Yes, it's all kind of
showing that leg.
Smart casual.
It's
probably made that same line.
I've got my dress
last year.
I've got my dress hat on
and the Metallica t-shirt.
Yeah, but nothing. It's my fancy Metallica t-shirt
as opposed to your shit Metallica t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I bought this one at the concert.
Oh, nice.
You know what? No, well, we've got a little time to talk while everyone's parking their vehicles.
This is true.
For the night of glitz and glam.
It is that time of year again.
It's the 2CGDs.
It is the 2CGDs.
100%.
Tony has been out
so many
slaving away.
Finding all of these.
Finding all these awards to dish out to our respected nominees.
100%. They're actually manufactured in South Africa.
Oh.
And then they get shipped over here, and then most of the recipients are South African, so I just ship them straight back.
Save on the shipping if you just
got them to go direct, but then we wouldn't have.
We could always just use one, and then
I can't do that.
No,
it's the 2CGDs, baby.
This spared no expense.
Yeah, and it's the 2CGDs, and it's a night of glitz and glam. Nothing says glitz and glam like whiskey. Really? Whiskey in West Auckland. But also, you've had a week, haven't you, pal?
Yeah. It's been a bit of a tough one. The old boy passed away last week, Wednesday night.
Yeah.
So I've been, alongside looking at rugby stats and key events, I've been writing a eulogy.
Far out.
Which is pretty full on. I had to do one of those before. And just experiencing, like, I watched the test match at the weekend between the Box and Wales, and then knowing there's going to be no Gazza chat, there's going to be no 12 out of 20s.
There's always a 12 out of 20, because anytime a referee does anything,
there's a 12 out of 20. But yeah, there's definitely a hole in the Two Cents universe at the moment, for sure.
Would it be bad taste of me to suggest when you do your eulogy, which I'm sure is going to be outstanding, that you bring up the whiteboard?
I don't think I'll be doing the whiteboard.
But Gaz's life, key events, stats.
My brother's actually going to go through the key events of his life. I'm focusing more on his, the rugby part, funnily enough. I'm going to talk about that and also just about him as a dad. Because he was a pretty good dad.
He was a great man. He's a great man and you're a great son. And it's been incredible to see the absolute outpouring of love that has come his way.
It genuinely
and your way and the Morgan's way
made it easier.
Yeah.
Like, it's a pretty shit time.
Yeah, it's
but
no doubt.
The amount of people who've gone through even like almost beat for beat the same track, where it's like me and my dad were like best friends, rugby, you know, was our thing that linked us together, kept us together, and then cancer, lost my dad, miss him.
Well, yeah.
The amount of people who used to say when they would see me and Gazza have the chats, like, oh man, your old man reminds me so much of my old man. And I love seeing you guys, the way you guys, riff off each other and whatnot.
Yeah, something beautiful about it, man.
And then they would always say, like, treasure that time, treasure that time, because I miss it so much. And now I'm the guy that tells other people
100%
say the same thing, like, well, you better treasure it as well, because one day, anyway, I guess it'll be gone. But
to Gaz, Gazza.
Gazmania.
Or Germania.
He was never a big whiskey drinker.
Well, it's a good thing you're an alky.
He liked his beer.
Yeah.
Bit of a beer drinker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had a beer on the day he died.
Yes. What a ledge. Yeah, non-alcoholic.
Non-alcoholic. He wasn't allowed to drink alcohol. I don't know why. After a certain point, he was just like, well, doctor's orders be damned.
If you're going to do heroin, that's the day to do it.
I know. He was like a stickler to his doctor's instructions to the bitter end.
He's like, no, look, this stuff can end your life.
This stuff could kill you.
I'm not being a bit Irish about it.
Yeah, you know? I mean, you got to look at it like that. You can't. I mean, I guess everyone deals with it in a different way.
Yeah, but, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well, I lost my old man in 2013, so that's a wee while ago now. Yeah. But it's one of those things you never forget it. The hole in your heart is always there, but every day, you know, you just remember the good stuff and the pain. You know, it dissipates somewhat. You miss them dearly, but it's a really weird week that you're going through at the moment. It just will be coming on in these big old waves and stuff like that.
It's funny, the strangest like little things just get the heart just ripping it to shreds. Like my mum came over for dinner with my aunt on Friday, a couple of days after Dad passed away. I'm trying to spend a lot of time with mum if possible, and because Dad always
she's such
used
a good
come,
woman, your mum.
Yeah,
hey?
She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's a real superstar. She got him through as long as he lasted, to be fair. But yeah, they arrived, and every time my dad would like pull up outside my house, you know, hop out the car, and I would just hear, even if I hadn't heard the car pull up, I'd just hear, g'day. And I'd be like, oh, Gaz is here.
Yeah.
So seeing the car pull up, and then there's a lack of a g'day.
Yeah.
How's it
going? Yeah.
It's just like, there's going to be heaps of little things like that.
Your old man, he did great with his wife, though. I don't want to say punch above his weight, but he had a great wife, he had great kids. What a life, though, you know, and like,
yeah,
did
honestly,
the things he wanted to do, and he did it
pretty well.
He
if it's like roulette or something, he put it all on whatever number, and he hit
and
that
came,
number
came
a,
up
a
Gaz's
number
way.
Of times. Yeah,
what
so
a ledge.
He did pretty well.
100%. Hey, dude, do you mind, like, at Irish weddings and funerals?
Ooh.
We always say the Irish blessing.
Okay.
So it's not, you don't have to hear it. I need my reading glasses. Okay, so this is what, I don't know why all my grandparents' funerals and my father's funerals always said, so an Irish blessing, yeah. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and the rain fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand.
Mm.
Man. So like, yeah, it's sung nicely and stuff usually, but you know, you guys will get back together and go, geez, you missed out on the All Blacks winning 6 straight World Cups, Gazza.
There you go. Yeah, Gazza.
Yeah. It's a tough thing, man. And I think the thing that pulled on my heartstrings a bit was when you were telling me about your son.
Oh,
well.
Yeah. He's been pretty distraught.
Because they're close, aren't they,
those
two?
Yeah, my dad used to... like, just always come around, like I said, for dinner or whatever. And, like, even if he was just sitting on the couch, my dad would be playing on his phone. And my son would just, like, snuggle up next to him. They might not even be doing anything together. But, like, you know, just being next to each other.
Just sort of kindred spirits.
Yeah, for sure. They would really, like, he would always, like, they both love animals. My dad would always be like, come here, Garrett. I've got an animal video to show you. Look at this fucking cougar. Well, he wouldn't say fucking, but look at this thing.
Yeah.
And Garrett would love it. So, he's been pretty, cut up about it. So it'll take him a while to adjust to that new normal as well.
Yeah.
But I'm really 100%. Glad that he got to have the relationship he did with my dad. Because both my grandparents died, one before I was born and one when I was 3. So I got no connection to them at all. But he's like almost 10. He's had a really close relationship. And my mum gave him my dad's old watch.
Yeah.
So because Dad worked at Repco for 50 years, and after 30 they gave him a Citizen watch.
And after 50 you get, what the fuck are you still doing?
Exactly. So we adjusted it years. And he cleaned it. He How cleaned because awesome. Gazza was not, he was not one to clean stuff. So my son cleaned all the gunk out of it when they, you know, changed the links, you know, they had to make it a bit smaller for him. And he's been like wearing it, and like he's been saying things like, oh, now I can take Granddad wherever I go. Or like, sweet, hey. Like last night he took the watch off, put it on the bedside table next to him, was like, good night, Granddad. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah,
you're such a sweet kid.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
No, it's they say it's one of the greatest joys you can have in your life as being a grandparent.
Yeah.
My mum says she would have started with that if she knew how good it would be. It's one of the things I feel saddest for my old man was that he passed away when he was 59.
Yeah.
He worked his ass off his entire life. He was a fantastic, awesome guy, a great dad.
Yeah.
But he died when his first granddad, his first grandchild was
just born, right?
3 or 4 months old.
Right.
You know, so he got to experience
being a grandad, but didn't get the cool stuff.
No, he got to like hold the baby and
But the cool stuff is playing with them, spoiling them, buying them ice creams, and then be like, right.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Back to you. Yeah, yeah. And my mum's just had so much joy doing that. And like
my dad loved it. I mean, when my son first started school, my dad used to help us.
Five of his grandkids that he didn't really have.
Oh, man, that sucks.
Yeah, that he didn't get to have a relationship
with. Your girl would love
Oh, me. Yeah. She would have. He would have absolutely adored all of them. Yeah, yeah. Like, he was great with kids.
Yeah. I was just going to say, my dad used to pick up, when my son first started school, he would pick my son up from school because I was still working in town. And he would say to my son, like, Do we take the bus home? I don't know why he would walk down. I guess he wanted to walk. So he'd walk down to the school and he'd be like, now, should we take the bus home or do you want to walk and we'll get an ice cream on the way? You know? Just like granddad. Yeah, yeah, so like you, as a dad, you would never be like, right, it's a standard walk home. We're just going to buy fucking ice cream.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe some dads do. Yeah. I never do that to my kids. Not like every goddamn day, but my dad.
I get an ice block on a hot day.
Yeah.
And then Madison tries to debate whether it's a hot day or not. And I'm like, this is not hot. No, it's fucking hot cold enough. And raining.
Yeah, exactly.
But right now it's always hot. And I'm like,
this is true.
You can't have a treat every day. Yeah. But no, but that's definitely granddad shit. Exactly. I remember just like being like 9 or something. And like my grandpa would just walk past and like give me $10 for no reason.
Mm.
And $10 when you're 9 is back in the early 90s. You were just like, this is the most money I've ever seen.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're just like, my grandpa's the coolest.
Yeah.
No, but it's a great thing being able to be a granddad and to have that relationship with your kids. And that's awesome, man.
Well, see, Gazza had leukemia the first time at about the same age as your dad, but he was really lucky. His odds were pretty slim at that time, but he actually got through that one.
Yeah.
So he was fucking lucky that he actually survived the first round and got to meet his 4 grandkids and have that relationship.
Like, yeah.
So
your video that you made about him, like, I think all of it was really beautiful. Like his second to last video, the one where he did a little shout out.
Mm.
It was really special that was part of the bump that got you over 100,000 subscribers.
Yeah, it genuinely was. Like my mum told me that like he was checking on his phone, like, is he at 100,000 yet? Oh, not quite. Is he at 100,000 yet? Not quite. So he was really gunning for it, which is cool.
Yeah, that is so cool.
Yeah, he was really supportive in that regard. So
he'd be having to, if he was trying to get me up to 100,000,
he'd be waiting a wee while. He might have had to beat cancer a third time. Jesus fuck.
Fourth or fifth time. This is my 10th go at it.
Come on, Tony. Hurry up. Make some more videos.
I'm 150 years old. It was
good that he got to see that. He got to check off a bunch of stuff, you know, before he passed away. So he had a bunch of books that he wanted to read.
I get books.
He read all his books.
He called
his doctor for his last appointment. He saw the All Blacks season out. Like, there was a bunch of stuff that he wanted to get done, which he got done. So it's almost like he checked all his boxes and was like, now it's time.
I got 2 books. I got the Great Boxing Clashes,
yes,
which is cool. Really like that. And then he gave me a book that I'm not interested in.
Paddy O'Brien.
Paddy O'Brien's biography. Referee. It's called Whistle While You Work.
There you go.
Whistle While You Work.
Good title.
Yeah. It's a good title. I'll give him that, Paddy.
It's a good paperweight.
Don't really want to read it. But thanks, Gazza. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Nah, he had a heap of stuff that he was looking to get rid of. So
yeah.
He thought of you.
Yeah, what a leech.
You didn't meet him, but he kind of felt like he knew you, I think.
Yeah, I feel like I heard his voice. I feel like a lot of people, we saw him on his live stream so much and heard from him and all that sort of thing.
One of the dads at my son's school today, like, I was going to pick up the kids and he hit me up, oh, Mark, sorry to hear about your dad. Shook my hand and he was like, you know, I never met him, but I really feel like I knew him. And, you know, it reminded me of my granddad, who was a big rugby guy. So there's a lot of people who seem to feel connected to him just via the internet.
He
made that video, and it was cool that before he passed away, like 2 weeks, he was able to read all these comments about people sending him all this love and shit. So, and, you know, sometimes we save those words.
People,
you know, get at their funeral, they get nice eulogies where people say cool stuff, but he actually got to read a whole bunch of stuff before he passed away, which was pretty nice.
Yeah, no, it was amazing to see. And then the outpouring of love, like that video you made for him, was really, really, really lovely. And I think a lot of people felt that very emotionally, because we all experience loss in our lives at stages, and losing your parents is the natural order of things.
That's right.
Um, But it's a still a bloody
still sucks tough, when it happens.
Yeah, it's a tough, tough fucking thing to go through. The only bad thing I can say about your dad, and look, on this I mean
tread
this
lightly.
I mean this very offensively. He was an Auckland NPC supporter.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true. It took me to Auckland games all the time as a kid.
You might be thinking, hold on, Tony, I thought you were a Jaffa. Yes, I am a Jaffa, and that is an Aucklander.
On the side of the bridge.
Yes, I'm a North Harbour supporter. Mm. Those Jaffa arseholes can suck a cock. Sorry, that includes you.
Okay, yeah. I will attend to that later. Once I've attended my father's funeral, I will look into that for you.
Thanks, buddy. Rib removal. yeah, mate. Anyway, just beautiful stuff. It's a weird thing, eh? It's like a sad but beautiful time, you know. And yeah, you always remember it. Yeah, and it just brings it back when anyone else goes it through. You kind of think about all the shit that you have to go through yourself. And yeah, like, hopefully your mum, you know, is able to deal with it nicely. Like, I think the hardest thing for my mum was when it all kind of calmed down and funeral happened, and then
the outpouring,
and then it just, your new normal is so weird.
That's it. Well, they've been married 49 years.
Wow.
It would have been 50 in like February. So it's like one of those.
Pretty much 50 years.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would have been nice to make it, but still a pretty fucking long time to be married.
Oh, jeez, man.
And then
I can't
have nothing. It's going to be rough.
I can't do 5 years married, though.
What's your record?
Shit. I got married in. Fuck me, dude. I met my first...
How old's your daughter?
We got married. I got separated when she was one.
Oh.
And yeah, she ruined it. She really fucked up the marriage. Ooh. I'm kidding. She's a wonderful child.
Sorry, Maddie.
No.
Your dad's got a wicked sense of humor.
Yeah, she knows.
She's got a similar sense of humor, to be fair. I've met her.
Yeah, she does. She's got a lot of...
She's got a bit of a Sullivan in her.
She's got a lot of sass. Yeah, exactly. Too much.
Yeah, maybe. Too much she gets that from?
Too much sass. So I got married in, was it either 2014 or 2015? And yep. I was separated in 2019.
Oh, yeah.
So 4 or 5 years.
Okay, we'll see how you go round two.
Yeah. Just hoping once I crack 6 years, it's a win. And then I'll be like, okay, number three. Who's next? I'm getting. Oh, mate. It's the 2 CGDs this week. We're very excited, but there was a pesky game of bloody rugby.
Yeah, Gazza missed this one.
Yeah, he did.
Wales hosting South Africa.
Yes.
And it was a bit of, I don't want to say controversial, but there was a bit spoken about it because it's outside the test window.
Mm-hmm.
And Wales were without... I forget how many, 10 players?
To be fair, Wales are so good. Like, they're just so absolutely stacked with crackerjack talent that they could afford to lose their 10 best players.
No, see, that's South Africa.
Oh, shit!
Yes, no, Wales...
I'm very new to the game, so...
Wales struggle at the moment, with their best 23 guys.
Yeah.
So to take out literally like half the team...
Yeah.
And then play this current crop of Springboks... Was something
with a bunch of scarlet players and stuff.
Was something of a recipe for disaster. A
bunch of guys on debut. Everyone kept on coming on. They were like, he's on debut.
At least one of the props was on debut. Yeah, a lot of rejigging for the Welsh.
Yeah.
And even like the box had to play a 7-1 split because they didn't have many guys available. Like, Dwayne Vermeulen has been retired for 2 years, was potentially going to have to suit up if they had guys go down to the warm-up. I would have loved that.
Mm.
I think that would have made it like, you know, a bit of a storyline, but he didn't need to in the end.
Yeah, that would have been pretty dope.
But South Africa looked not good for about 2 minutes. They made some mistakes, and then they looked good.
And it was one-way traffic, really, the entirety of the game. There were a few moments where you thought, oh, Wales could score. You never thought Wales was in it. It wasn't even a game where you thought for half a second they could make a game of this.
No.
I
mean, they were only down by 4 tries at halftime.
Yeah.
And you felt like, it's not too bad.
Yeah, they're doing all right.
28? Like, this could be only 15.
And they had a few opportunities on their line, but the South African defense was giant.
Yeah, Wales attack wasn't really going.
Bloody, their bock back is so ridiculous. Mm. They are just so big.
Mm.
They're just giant. Like, that scrum.
Their scrum is... just, it seems almost like it's gone.
They talk about it's a game for
their scrum's always been good in recent years, but it's gotten to another level. The coach is like, I don't know, over this off-season, because the box are not in action until...
It has absolutely gone to another level.
That people are going to be just having to study these guys with a microscope, because what the hell? Like, it's just one of those ones where you hope before the next World Cup, everyone else can figure it out and find a solution.
Yeah.
I'm saying this is a non-South African. Obviously, you guys are quite happy.
Yeah.
You guys are quite happy obliterating everybody at scrum time right now. Like, I still remember back when we played them. I thought we had a pretty good four pack.
And yeah.
We didn't get Irelanded or Waleseded, but we got parity and no better. Yeah. And sometimes we were getting shoved.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
That was like the best we got was parity.
Yeah, and that's I think that's we've always just aimed for parity and just backed our skills to win. But now our skills are worse as well. But yeah, they're giant men. Yep. They all look unbelievably conditioned. And they're just like the Welsh pack. I assume if I saw them walking into a bar, I'd be like, fuck, these guys are big.
Yeah.
But they look small.
I think in the scheme of things, Wales pack is not giant. Like, I remember Warren...
But, like, their front rows and their props
back when
just,
Warren Gatland was coaching them at the start of the year, even he was saying how, like... the power, it might have been a year or two ago, but he was saying how the power teams like the French and the box and whatnot are the ones dominating the game at the moment.
Yeah.
He was kind of worried about that back then. And it's just gone further that way.
Yeah.
At the moment.
Wow.
And then the second half.
What are they doing?
Half was brutal.
Yeah, it was an absolute pumping. With the credit to the Welsh for, you know, the clearly outgunned and outmatched. They kept on trying to play. And a few, it looked like they never threw in the towel. And they were trying right to the death to get some points on the board. Yeah.
We didn't get the Wellington thing where it was like white flag and just like, geez, we're just not going to tackle.
Yeah.
Like they kept fucking tackling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They tried, they stopped them all reasonably well.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah. Throughout the game, they stopped them all. They had a couple of brief moments in the wider channels where they created a bit of space.
Yeah.
They were dominated in the air. They were dominated up front. They were dominated in the collision.
Yeah, the breakdown as well. Like, breakdown. They get a couple of phases in South Africa's half and then like, boop, they got turned over.
Yes. And every time is it weird to say I thought their scrum held up better than the Irish scrum the week before?
Oh, yeah, no, I think so.
We had... your most liked video was paired very closely with your most disliked video from last week, which I hate to say was mainly my fault.
Yeah, well, you rub some people the wrong way.
Can I say a couple of things about this?
You can tread carefully.
No, I will not tread carefully.
Okay, tread carefully.
I will tread honestly.
Okay.
It is much...
You are allowed an opinion.
It is much...
People are allowed to disagree with you.
It's much easier on the internet to agree with... to take a pro South African opinion. I take pro South African opinions as much as I possibly can. And I love it when I do because I know that I'm not going to get any shit back. I'll be like, Tony had some good takes this week. You know, and I think they've done there's no arguments whatsoever that they're the best team in the world. They are the most dominant.
If there's a but coming, then they would say everything that you're about to say.
There is no real but in terms of those things are absolutely a fact. But they also have incredible outside backs. They're developing this really, really interesting attacking style. And
they're introducing all these hybrid players.
Yeah,
thing.
They're like, clearly being incredibly innovative and all these doing these amazing, amazing things.
Do you think, like, as cold the thought,
mm-hmm.
do you think some people are... Because we were talking a little bit off camera how the All Blacks teams of old,
yes.
like the 2015, was so lauded... And
yeah.
you know, like
they
love,
feel like they're,
like,
not
oh,
getting, they're not getting the flowers,
not getting the credit, like for the innovations and stuff. Like Russie, when he innovates, gets the microscope put on him, and like, oh, we should change the rules. Whereas it's not being like lauded as being innovative and you know good for the game.
I think personally, and this is another just opinion on that front, that the reason why the All Blacks were lauded, you know, with that aura and spoken about in hushed tones, they're fucking All Blacks, yada, 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 for such a long period of time, wasn't just the fact that they won, but just how they, like, the free-flowing attacking style of play, which just is scintillating to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the box are developing parts of that, and I think they have the ability to do that, but their game is far more built on, like, front foot, forward domination and set piece dominance and scrum dominance, which isn't as sexy. It's just...
That just genuinely doesn't get the praise.
No, like, take a neutral to watch a game that's like has a shit ton of scrum penalties and scrum resets versus one where incredible free flowing length of the field tries, counter attacking moves, amazing skills from forwards and backs, huge collisions, impacts, you know, like great breakdowns and stuff like that. And they'll be like, that game was fucking awesome. Whereas, it's a bit slow, wasn't it? Like, that's what I think a neutral will say. But anyway, like,
You're speaking more about the Irish game the week before.
Yeah. I don't know if that's part of the thing, but I think the South Africans absolutely deserve their flowers. They're clearly the best team in the world right now.
There's the but.
The my take on the scrums, the biggest piece of feedback biggest comment you get is like, go watch some rugby league.
All right.
Go watch some rugby league if you don't like scrums. And it sounds like people are, and they're saying, yeah, real rugby's about scrums and all that sort of stuff. This whole scrum farming, like farming for penalties, is a relatively, like to this extent, is a relatively modern thing. The way they go on about it, you think that William Webb Ellis picked up the soccer ball and packed a scrum immediately. And the whole thing, go watch a game of rugby league. I am convinced that anybody who ever says that has never watched a fucking game of rugby league. Because it is so, I watch rugby league every, I love rugby league. Yeah, I watch it every single week. The games are very, very different. They're like, obviously the amount of players are different. The play of the ball is incredibly different. The offside lines are completely different. Mm-hmm. This, you know, the tackle count and phases, the attacking structures are completely different. The only thing they have in common are basically just those rugby hand skills, which is run, pass, kick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, there's no breakdown skills, there's no line-out skills, there's no scrumming skills, but it's such a different game. And I think it's an awesome game, and I really do enjoy it. But if you ever want to say that, go watch. I like rugby for the free-flowing nature that anything can happen at any time. It's like I sometimes compare a good game of league to like a really good rock song.
Right.
Like you kind of, you get into it, you know what's going to happen, it's got to hit, all that sort of stuff. Whereas sometimes a great rugby game can be just like an incredible group of musicians just jamming and like going wherever they want to go and taking you on these incredible journey and rides and using all scopes of the field and letting every player do every piece of attack and do all these sorts of different things. There's such different games. And I love rugby. I like rugby more than I like league. I love league, but they're totally different games. And just because I kind of find scrum farming to be a little bit of a negative tactic and pretty fucking boring to watch doesn't mean that the only savior for me is just to watch solely league. Go watch some league. If you're one of those people, name me three league players that weren't converts. Can you name three league? You can. I'm sure you can name three league players that weren't converts. But I'm sure most people will go watch rugby league. That comment gets me up.
I like scrums.
Goads my goat.
But I don't like 20 scrums in a game.
Yeah. And I don't mind like a you know big like scrum in a big moment.
I like scrums because you get all the players who are the 1 to 8 numbers on their back on both teams in one place at 100%. One time. There's a shitload of space around the rest of the field. Yeah. There's set plays that coaches have dreamed up because it's one of those moments where
100%.
You know where your guys are going to be and you have control over the next thing that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So and you see so much magic stuff from set piece. And sometimes, like you say, there is a fucking, there's a scrum on your own 5 meter line. You're under heaps of pressure and your scrum just fucking obliterates them.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, it's a get out of jail.
100%.
I love that shit. I love that shit. But I don't want to see 20 scrums in a game.
No. And this whole thing,
well, for the opposite end of the scale, I also don't really like watching sevens because, like, I can only watch so many, like, line breaks and wingers scoring, length of the field tries. I can enjoy sevens.
Sevens, I really enjoy watching the fatigue factor in sevens.
Yeah, it's got its own things as well. Yeah. But for me, it's too open.
Yeah.
It's the opposite end of the scale. I don't want to see just line breaks. I don't want to see just scrums.
And in league, it's just collisions. And
I want something kind of in the middle-ish.
Yeah, no, I like it all.
Ideally.
I really do.
I can appreciate all the aspects. I like teams who keep it tight, kick penalties, and win breakdown turnovers. They don't have to be the sexy shit for me to enjoy it.
Yeah.
20 scrums in a game, for me personally, is a bit too much.
The one thing that...
But we're getting sidetracked about the Irish game again.
Is this
because of all the comments in the last one?
There was such a huge amount.
I didn't read them.
I did.
You told me that there was negativity, so I just avoided it.
I kind of enjoyed it.
Okay.
But I just... The one other thing that kind of irks me is if you don't want to get penalised at scrum time, don't infringe. There is 64 limbs involved in a scrum. There are 16 spines. There are 16 brains. Okay, anybody does anything in that, it's going to affect what the whole organism does. So if it spins or it does all this sort of stuff, or a guy pops up, most of the time when guys pop up and stuff like that, they've got so much intense pressure on them. It's because they're trying to bloody save their own lives or save their own shoulders, necks, and spines from, occurring injury. Nobody ever just goes, oh, I'm getting pushed, let's all walk back in a straight line, fellas. It never happens. So it's one part of the game was if you're just not good enough, if you can't make a tackle, you don't get penalized. But if you're getting monster in the scrum, you get penalized. Just to say, don't infringe, I just think that's completely unrealistic. That is my end of my rant. We will now commence the 2 CGDs.
It was a pretty lopsided game.
Yeah, it was a lopsided game. But
credit to the Welsh fans who got there up there and cheered their teams on, knowing they were going to get a hiding.
100%. You got to appreciate that.
Yeah,
and a lot of South African fans in the
team. Because the debate has been going on for quite a while about, is this current crop of South Africans better than the 2015 team? And it's one that you'll never have an answer to. Because you can compare, people compare fucking footballers from, 50 years ago to modern ones. There's no definitive answer.
No.
Everyone will have their own opinions.
And it's just pub chat.
But this is I think after this season, it's the first time, because I've always been 2015 All Blacks is better. I've always been they're just not as good. But now I'm starting to be ooh, fuck, maybe.
I think,
maybe. Because they have got that arsenal of, we can fucking scrum the shit out of you.
Yeah.
And they've also got Weekend Sasha Feinberg and Gomazulu your ass as well. Yeah. They've got fucking everything.
I think it never can happen, and it's all theoretical, if the two teams played together right now, I think the Bok team, and I'm not saying they're the greatest, because it all has to be looked in terms of the context of the time that they're in.
The laws change.
Yeah, the laws change, and the innovations change, and other people adopt it, and the game moves on.
Yep.
But I think probably their forwards mince our forwards.
Oh,
right
for
now.
Sure.
And then we can't get any ball. Crunch us.
This is far, or at least in my lifetime, this is the most dominant forward pack I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
They're incredible.
It's the best Bok team we've ever seen. That's just it.
At least in my lifetime, yeah. They're fucking amazing.
Absolutely.
They're just mincing people.
100%.
Yeah, it's never been like that. They've always been
big and good and scary.
I remember watching the Bok versus All Blacks games of old, where it'd be fuck, Buckies and Victor are disrupting our line out. If we could only get our set piece going, our backs will cut these guys to ribbons. It was always a bit of this, a bit of that, but now their fucking forwards are just ripping the shit out of everything.
Indeed, mate. Anyway, we should get on with this because we started late.
We did start late.
Yeah, and this is all recording good. Yeah, we're looking at that. Man, that would be a pain.
33 minutes in. Exactly. I really don't want to have to record me chatting about my dad's death a second time, so let's pray to the podcasting gods.
Imagine if you just go, yep, my dad died, let's move on.
Let's just talk rugby.
Okay, so I've got a stack of these. Whole stack of them.
Yeah, in the drawer there.
I've got another stack down here. So I'm just going to put him over here with these other ones. So we've got a number of categories here. Would you like to start reading some categories out?
Okay,
so first category.
First category we have Well, it goes back to these. Can I skip to the second one first? I want to go that way. It ties in more what we've been talking about.
Okay, all right.
I want to go best big unit.
Best big unit.
The best big unit. To show that we do have some love for those big fucking scrummaging units. Me especially.
Yeah, but it's his favorite Pornhub
category. This was big your... unit. This is your baby. Best big unit is one of your, like, since the original TCGDs, it's always been your baby. You love a big unit.
I love a big unit.
We have four nominees for best big unit this year.
Mm-hmm.
Our first one is a South African prop.
His name, a glove.
Oh, yeah. You drink from a can, like a savage. His name is Wilco Lowe.
Wilco Lowe.
Our second nominee is a South African prop. His name is Thomas Du Toit.
Du Toit.
Our third nominee is a South African prop. His name is Ox Inche. I can't say his full name.
Yes. Ox, you know who can nickname. Really well?
Rian.
Rian can.
He's a legend. Yeah. And our fourth nominee is a Springbok prop. His name is Gerhard Steenkamp. Or Steenkamp.
Gerhard Steenkamp. All right.
There's some big units in there.
There are some pretty big units. Okay. And the winner of Best Big Unit for the 2CGD goes to...
Is it a South African prop?
It is Wilco Lowe. Fantastic. Well done, Wilco.
Well done, Wilco.
Accepting this 2CGD, Wilco couldn't be here tonight.
He's got to get to his URC duties.
Yeah, yeah. Accepting this 2CGD in his place right now is Mark Morgan.
Good on you, Wilco.
From 2 Cents Rugby, co-host of
2 Cents. Tony in particular loves your work.
I really do. Fantastic.
Put that over on the shelf for Wilco.
We'll get that. We'll mail that one out to you. We'll nail that one out to you. Fantastic.
Job done.
Well done.
2CGD number one.
2CGD number one. We're away.
We don't have a sponsor this week, but cheers to our man Jimmy for these beers.
We appreciate you, Jimmy.
We're still drinking them from the old MPC days. We're still going through them.
Still going with them, buddy. This is episode 40, I think, of the year.
Unbelievable.
That's more than we did last year. I think we only did like 32 last year.
So much rugby.
Mm.
Second category.
Yes.
Best shit team.
Best shit team. Oh, I just had a peek.
There are some teams which maybe don't get the plaudits.
Yes.
They're not winning rugby championships or Six Nations titles.
Former winners of this have been Australia.
Yes.
That was when they were in the dumps, but
they were coming back from the Eddie Jones doldrums.
Yes, yes, yes. Who else? I know that was that year one that they won that, and they were under Rennie.
Maybe.
They kept on losing, but having plucky games versus
that tour of Europe where they like lost to France and Ireland by a point or something.
Yeah. Gee, that seems like a while ago.
Yeah.
But then we've gone for more.
Australia, sadly, at the moment, I think.
Shit a shit team.
You kind of finish the season a shit team.
Yeah. Yeah. If there was like, whoa, oh no.
Yeah. Or if they'd beaten France at the end, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. We have Belgium.
Belgium.
Who, but for a draw against Samoa, if they got one more point, they could have qualified for their first ever World Cup.
So close.
So close. Italy, I think we're maybe being a bit harsh on you by including, you're almost too good to be a shit team now.
Yeah.
But in our hearts, you're still a shit team.
You could be the best shit team, though. We'll
That's right.
Surely.
Uruguay, who've had some good results. They had a good win over Portugal away from home this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zimbabwe, who qualified for their first World Cup, I think, since the 80s or the 90s. It's been a long time for the Zimbabweans.
It's been a long way between drinks. Were they called like Rhodesia or something last time?
I think they've beaten us before as well.
That comes up from time to time.
It's one of those factoids.
Yeah, that they get thrown in the comments. Like, yeah. Do you know that one team have an unbeaten record? It's like Rhodesia.
Rhodesia.
Yeah. Okay, and the winner of Best Shit Team for 2025, the 2CGD, goes to... Look, it's a consolation, but I'm sure they're going to be thrilled. It's Belgium.
Belgium.
Well done, Belgium. Okay.
You may not have won a World Cup, but...
We invited the whole Belgian rugby team to this event and their management staff, but unfortunately they were all busy tonight. They were having their own beer drinking event. To drown their sorrows, but accepting in their stead is Mark Morgan, co-host of 2 Cents Gets Distracted, and also has his own YouTube channel, 2 Cents Rugby.
Well, well done, Belgium. Well, we are sorry you didn't make the World Cup, but hopefully this is something of a consolation.
Fantastic. Oh, we'll ship
you
this
put
one
that
out.
On that one goes not that's to South on, Africa, that one goes to
that's
Belgium.
That's on the go pile, these are the to-comes. Yep, gotcha, yes. Gotcha, okay. Gotcha.
Third category, it's kind of similar to the Breakthrough Player of the Year.
I think the Breakthrough Player of the Year, if anything, kind of steals our thunder.
This is right.
Yeah, this is slightly better. This is, you know what the difference is? Like, breakthrough player of the year is the type of player, like, over a long period of time probably makes more meaningful contributions. This is a player that makes you just sit up. You know, you're chilling on the couch, you're relaxing. You may not even be what, you might be in neutral, but you sit up and make perks your interest and you go, shit, he's good.
Shit, he's good.
So who's the, what are our nominees this year?
We have a big old Dutchman.
Yes.
Fabian Holland. Can I say I love the fact that he's from the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Which is some kind, sometimes called Holland.
Yeah.
And his name is Fabian Holland.
Fantastic.
That's just great.
We just needed him along with Sam Whitelock. And they were real great descriptors.
This is right. Funnily
Fabian
enough.
Fabian Whitelock would have been, no, Holland Whitelock.
Funnily enough, there's another guy. He plays for Argentina. His name is Pedro Delgado. He's a big tight head prop. And apparently in Spanish, Delgado means skinny. So he's got the other end.
So it's like one of those little gym, like ironic names.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one. Right. Henry Pollock,
yeah.
From England, had a bit of a breakthrough year, went on the Lions tour.
Mm.
We got Leroy Carter.
Leroy Carter made his
debut against the Box in Wellington where we got flogged. But he scored a try in that game.
Started his international career very well.
Yes, that's right. And a guy who I haven't seen that much of, but Tom Roebuck for England. Very good under the high ball. Loves a good tap back.
The old air ball lottery. Loves it.
Steve Borthwick loves a bit of aerial ball.
This is one of my favorite categories.
Shitty's good.
The Shitty's Good Award for 2025, the 2CG, TCGD goes to Henry Pollock
this year. Controversial.
Yes, brilliant. Well done, Henry.
Nominated for Breakthrough Player, didn't get it, but he did get himself.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Henry couldn't be here. He was on the pitch.
Back on premiership duties, I'm afraid.
And Mark's going to be separate than his head. Mark from the co-host of Two Cents gets
Henry
distracted
Pollock.
And has his own rugby.
What do you think about Henry Pollock?
Look, we gave him the award.
He's a character.
He's certainly a character. He certainly brings in the eyeballs. And
yes, I would say he loves himself.
He does. I would say that too. And I try not to say those sort of things, but he's kind of right. I feel as though like he's just just electric. He is. Even when I'm watching games when he's on the field and you're like, fuck, he's coming on.
You
kind of watch what he's doing. You just know he's just had a most immense start to his international career. Got on the Lions tour. Didn't get too much action over there, but an absolute handful, a huge character, and clearly just absolutely Dying King stonkedly packed with talent. Fabian Holland is a fantastic player, he's just a really good lock. Like, gets high ball, like, is, you know, gets good line out balls, big and physical.
Tackles, yeah.
Just kind of does what a real good lock does, but this guy just feels like X Factor star. So he makes you perk up and go, oh, shit, he's good.
Good, there you go.
And Leroy Carter, if he was able to continue on the trajectory he was on early, you'd have to say a relatively poor tour of Europe for where he was going, but that's certainly not the end of his career.
Still some potential
there's
for
a lot
that
of potential.
Man as well.
And
the fact that he can play halfback and wing does give Razor some potential to do some innovative shit if he decides to. They're kind of a rare breed. Like, the Box have got a few of those guys, like Grant Williams and Cobus Reinach and whatnot, who quick halfbacks who can play on the wing.
Yeah. 100%.
We need to get some of that shit going.
All right, we'll get this one sent out.
There you go, Henry.
Simple. All right, fantastic.
Next one, other end of the scale, because those were the kind of breakthrough guys, the guys who we're impressed to see. Best old dog.
Yes.
Guys have been around a wee while, got a few Ks on the old... What's
on
that?
The belt.
Yeah. What's that car thing?
Odometer.
Odometer, that's the one.
That car thing.
Yeah, the car thing.
Yeah. We're real technical people.
Irishman, Jameson Gibson Park. He's been around for a few years. He's losing some hair. Thank God he shaved his hair.
It made me laugh when you said Irishman. He plays for Ireland.
Does he not have Irish citizenship? Must do.
If you met that guy and you said...
Look at that Irishman.
I met a good Irishman today. Oh, what do you sound like? Oh, hey, bro, what's up? I'm a real good passer.
He's a good player.
He's a great fucking player. He's brilliant. And he's 100% a fantastic Irish international. He plays the Irish team. And he's a great Irish citizen.
Yeah.
But I just can't call him an Irishman.
Oh, can't I?
Well, you guess he's... He sings, the country, we've come together.
Ireland's call.
Yeah. For the four proud provinces of Ireland.
Are you trying to say that you're more Irish than he is?
Ireland. Well, my DNA, 100%, okay. I definitely am.
Okay.
But
you don't play for Ireland.
They don't want me.
You don't live in Ireland.
They don't want me to halfback. No, they certainly don't. He spent more time in Ireland.
Exactly. Than right. I have. He's more Irish than you are. I'm saying it right now.
Okay. My DNA, 75% Irish from the County Cork region. And the other 14% of me is Scott. No, I know that's another 14, not 14%, but another 14% of me is Gaelic Scottish, is what it said. So, and then the rest of it was like random northern 100%
Europe. Asshole who had scrums.
I'm 100% that guy and 100% that bitch. Yeah, I really am.
Jameson Gibson Park, he's an old dog, he's still going. Another halfback.
That old great old Irishman.
South African, Corpus Reinach.
Mm-hmm.
You got anything to say about his heritage and his DNA or?
Well, no, he's clearly. The name like Cobus Reinach, there's no.
Doesn't get much more
South African. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Maybe Dutch.
Yeah, Cobus Reinach, he's had a pretty good year. They've had a few injuries at halfback, the South Africans, but they've relied on the old veteran.
Yeah, he's an outstanding player.
James Slipper called it quits this year.
Yes.
Couldn't get that win in his final game against the ABs, but he's had a hell of a career.
What a career, what a career.
And then Rabah Slimani for France, after a big absence, got himself back in the French team, playing for Leinster. He's spending time in Ireland as well.
Wow, he's an Irishman.
Came on the tour to New Zealand.
Yeah.
What a comeback.
What a comeback. We missed the category that we said we were going to do.
Oh.
That category was best player in a shit team or best player in a losing team. Well,
James Slipper.
James Slipper. Or,
maybe.
Or,
oh, no, Jack Morgan, Jack maybe. Morgan. But he played for the Lions, so he didn't get some wins.
McWright.
Oh, yes, actually. Yeah. Maybe McWright. Yeah, yeah. Probably McWright.
Yeah.
He's genuinely in a shout for the world's best open side flanker.
But he plays for Mick Wrong Team.
Okay. He does.
Have you got through?
Oh my god!
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god! My dad's passed away, and yeah. I'm not crying. But I'm not crying. That almost made me cry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay.
And the award goes to.
Oh yes, the 2CGD for best old dog goes to, and I think this is really deserved. Cobus Reinach.
Oh,
yeah. Well done, Cobus. Cobus couldn't be with us this evening. Down the RSVP, but accepting his stead is Mark Morgan, co-host of 2 Cents to Get Distracted. Also has his own YouTube channel, 2 Cents Rugby.
We can pack that one up with the mail to Wilco Lowe.
Yeah, fantastic. Do they play for the same URC team?
No.
Mm-hmm. Would have been easier. Anyway. He's an outstanding season. I feel like he's like a breakthrough player.
He's had a few.
Is the first time I've gone, fucking Cobus yeah. Reinach. Like, a couple of incredible tries as well. Like there's a chip and chase, was it against
the French?
Wow, that changed the
trajectory of that game.
Yeah, really. At 35, outrageous. He's playing like a spring chicken.
This is one category suggested by the fans.
Did we take those people's categories?
We took a couple.
Okay, good.
Best test. And helpfully, the email that I got actually had some suggestions, because when we hear the category and no suggestions, we look at each other and go, which games?
And then we just come up with 3 All Black games.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, best test.
Not that we were involved in that many good games this year.
All Blacks against the Springboks. We were debating whether to
nominate. Yeah, immediately we wrote down Eden Park, didn't we?
Because we won that one.
Yeah, we have fond memories.
For us, that was a good test.
I think that was.
Not many people have been beating the Box this year.
That was the only. That's the silver lining on this year. If you said to any South African fan at the beginning of the year, if you could win one game this year, which game would it be? They were talking so much smack to us all year about wait till Eden Park. And the fact that they were able to basically dominate all comers apart from that blip at Ellis Park and they weren't able to get that little prize that they wanted at Eden Park, Was very, very satisfying. But we couldn't put it in best test because it was best result for us. But
it was a bit of an ugly game.
It was a bit
of the spectacle. Like, there's been a couple of All Blacks games. Like the Eden Park one was hyped up. The Chicago one was hyped up. Neither of them were great. Like, we were talking shit about the Ireland South Africa game. Like, yeah. Neither of those games, which had our teams winning, like, neither of those games are going to be like ones where I'm going to be like, son, I want to show you some rugby.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we're not watching that one.
Yeah, yeah. I would be showing my son. I don't have a son.
You don't have a son. You still got time.
My daughter. No, I don't. Chopped everything up down there. It's like
he's been castrated.
Yeah, my penis is just like a corn that's been eaten. Like, it's just, there's something there. It's just chunky bits hanging off it. Sorry to get a little too graphic there. But I'd be showing them the 2001...
the greatest game of the century.
Yeah, that's what I'd be showing them.
I'd probably go 2015 World Cup final. That's a good game.
Yeah. I think just in terms of quality of the game. We're talking... Yeah, sorry.
All Blacks Springboks from Wellington. Or I really like that
one game.
Wellington is the one we
My favourite BOC game of all time is the game where John Schmidt...
Joe Schmidt's the coach of the Wallabies.
Fuck, what's his name? Schmidt.
Yeah, John Schmidt.
Made his 100th test debut, and they played in that stadium. 100th
test debut.
It was his debut for his 100th test. You can't do it twice.
Yeah, that's right.
His 100th test, and they were pretty dominant throughout the game. Richie McCaw scores a try in the last minute to tie it up, and then we, from the kickoff... they get possession, we drive straight over, regather possession, goes out to Martin Onu palms off and loses John Schmidt in the tackle, and then he does an incredible spiral pass out to Israel Dagg, who puts it down, and we win the game.
Wow.
Whew, that was tasty. I was up off my couch.
Oh yeah.
1996 games against the Box. That, was some
that pretty, tour after the World Cup, yeah, was pretty good.
Pretty good. Anyway, why,
we're reminiscing of the years of old when we actually used to beat the Springboks.
How we beat them? Eden Park.
Recent record against them was pretty bad. So yeah, we went with the Wellington game because that wasn't a great test for us, but not many teams come to New Zealand and cut the shit out of the ABs like that.
Pump us dry.
That was something else.
It was dirty.
The opposite end of the scale from a Box perspective is the Ellis Park game. The Aussies. That was a hell of a comeback.
What a cracker.
Written off.
21-0 within 20 minutes almost.
Yeah, they were amazing. Written off and being destroyed, and they managed to somehow come back and win it. First time in a long time, Ellis Park. Lions, speaking of the Wallabies, Lions second test at the MCG, 90,000 fans. Test series on the line, a bit of controversy at the end. That one was a cracker. And then Six Nations, if you can put your mind all the way back, Twickenham, England, just coming off a loss against Ireland, round one of the Six Nations. They win it in the 79th minute. I think it's Elliot Daly with the try, conversion from Finn Smith. They win it by a point against the French.
Cracking game. So cracking finish.
Love a cracking finish.
A big finish.
Sometimes a shit game can
be... But the big finish, you're going to look back with rose-tinted windows.
That's right.
Rose-tinted windows.
Rose-tinted windows. My windows have got rose tints on them.
Look at them. Live your life.
Driving down the street. That's got rose tints on the windows. Honey, get up. Rose tinted windows.
Yeah, rose tinted windows. That's it. That'd be a good name for a band. Is that all the games?
Who does TCG to go to?
So TCG this year that goes down to best test. Oh, the Wallabies win something for a year over the year. Wallabies versus South Africa, definitely for me, best game of the year.
It was 100%. Such a... Let me take that. I'll send it to Joe. We need a...
Joe, the rest of the team, they need some trophy. They need a trophy. It's a bit of a bare empty...
The season kind of went to shit for you guys after this game.
This is a game...
Season-defining game.
If you go to the Australian Rugby Union department...
This is the only trophy on display.
Yeah, it's going to be very lonely over there, but check it out.
Well done, Wallabies.
Like, well done.
After that game, everyone was talking you up as they're going to break through... Schmitz had coached the All Blacks because he's such a mastermind, and then they got some injuries and things.
What was disappointing about it was when they're able to have the likes of
Tom Wright,
Valentini, Jorgensen,
and not Taney Edmund-Plingerton.
Yeah, They've got a really, really high quality team that can actually, and then the test afterwards, they look like they're on the driver's seat.
They were a good game
for long periods of that game. But the problem with one of the problems with Australian rugby at the moment in terms of their ability to be competitive, once they lose two or three really, really important players, they've had a real bad run with injury.
Tens in particular, nines as well.
But the South Africans have like every position is like three or four deep.
Yeah.
Of like world, they're the only world team in the world class, without at the moment. World class.
Yep.
Yeah, we have like two deep. Most teams have two or three.
England's building some good.
They've got 1.125. Like it, once they just don't have enough for replacements, and they're in key positions. They're just trying to. They were trying to win games in the Northern Tour with a good NPC
10,
which
not ideal.
It's not ideal at all. And I still think if. Come World Cup time, if they're able to get their ducks in a row and they're able to get the right players in the park and get some good coaching under their belt and they have a good run with injury, like, don't write them off.
Don't write them off.
They need a few things. If they were able to keep that team together, Tom Wright at the back was
electric until he got that injury in that second game.
Skelton, Valentini, like, that changes the whole nature of that forward pack. Like, I thought Harry Wilson was
industrious
all year round, and then you got Mick Wright, who's just outstanding. Yep. Tupo, if he's able to really, really kick it up a gear, still a little bit light in the front row, you know. But it's interesting.
But that was a hell of a result, man. Box have been a pretty hard team to beat this year, and they were one of only two teams to do it, and certainly the only team to do it not at Eden Park.
Yeah.
It was an incredible game.
It was.
Absolutely. We haven't won in South Africa for ages.
That's right. Our record against them is terrible.
2022 was the last time we did.
That. Was it the Fozzie?
That Fozzie Save the Job game. Save the Job game, yeah.
Next category is, again, a suggestion by the fans, or the one guy who emailed me. Well, two guys actually emailed me. But most unfairly hated player by their own fans. That player who's actually pretty good. But every time they get selected, the
unfairly hated.
The fans groan and say, "Why the fuck is this guy getting chosen?
Not him again." We could have called it the Reuben Thorne.
We could have called it the Reuben Thorne. He was an industrious player as well.
Yeah, Reuben Thorne used to get so much shit, and then you used to watch him. And I was somebody who wasn't a big fan, and he got a lot of shit for like just running around onto rucks and leaning on them. But he did a lot of hard work. Just like the old Reuben Thorne was just running around and just leaning on a ruck.
Ruben Thorne. We've got from England, George Ford.
Yes,
we might pick him. They're like, "Oh, fucking dude, can't tackle."
Yeah,
but he's a pretty good player.
Yeah, I think he's
a pretty good game against the All Blacks.
You know, the game around. Where I was like, one of the most impressive games I saw him ever play was that World Cup game against Argentina where they got that red card at the beginning, and he was just like, any chance I have to put points on the board, I'm going to snap at them. And he just dropped kick them to victory.
Yep.
Yeah, it was amazing.
He was amazing.
He's an intelligent player.
He is.
Yeah. Just had a couple of bad moments.
The fact that he hasn't gone on a Lions tour is unbelievable. Even as like a dirt tracker, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Never even been good enough to be... Like, Finn Smith went on that tour.
But
George Ford didn't. Anyway. Finlay Christie from New Zealand gets a heap of shit, not just because he's a redhead.
Yeah. That just makes it worse.
It does.
Poor old Finlay. He's compared to Aaron Smith, when Aaron Smith was at the peak of his powers.
No.
Compared to Cam Rogard. He's always kind of around three or four in the pecking order.
Yeah.
So whenever he kind of needs to play... Everyone's like, oh.
Not Finlay.
But it's more of a case of we're in a bad state for their injuries.
I remember he started for the Blues in like the Super Rugby final that we won, and he played really well.
Yeah, really, really well. He came on in the World Cup final.
Exactly right.
Yeah. I think he doesn't do much wrong, really.
He's not sexy.
Redheads aren't sexy. Unless you're into that sort of thing. Who's a sexy redhead? Nicole Kidman, back in the day.
Back in the day.
She
married Tom Cruise back in the day and then divorced him
back in the day.
Sam Prendergast, who's not been married to Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
Young Irishman.
Does he get as much shit as Crowley?
No, because Crowley's a better defensive 10. But I think you've seen Sam can shift the ball around a wee bit. He's got some creativity in his game, but his tackling needs work. It's a work on, as Andy Farrell put it.
It's a great Ozzy Osbourne song as well.
Called
Mr. Crowley.
Oh, it's not about
bam, bam, bam. What they done in your head.
And then we don't really speak French, but I've noticed
Mr. Crowley.
Enough Facebook posts bam, bam, bam. On the French rugby team's Facebook page dun, that Gael Fiku gets a lot of shit for not shifting the ball wide. Even though he's like been around for yonks.
Randy Rhodes on guitar has some incredible solos in that song.
You think he's the favorite for
don't
the
know
song.
What he's like on guitar, though. Gael Fiku. I really like Gael Fiku.
Me as well.
He's fucking...
I'm only going from what I've seen on French social media.
Yeah, right. So he gets the Rico Ioane treatment because Rico gets shit from
not passing.
Yeah. Similar kind of players.
Maybe.
Hmm. All right. Well, okay. The 2CGD for the most unfairly hated player for 2025 goes to, and I think this is well deserved, George Forward.
Cracking player.
Yeah, brilliant. Fantastic. George, he was a maybe for a long time.
But? Premiership duties.
Premiership duties. And he also didn't like my take on scrums. He loves the scrum. Loves the scrum. Accepting in his stead is Mark Morgan, co-host of 2 Cents Gets Distracted, also has his own YouTube channel, 2 Cents Rugby. Make sure you subscribe.
You're a good player, George.
Fantastic. 2 Cents Gets Distracted is a rugby podcast. It is. We'll get that out to you.
Next one's again a fan suggested category.
Yes.
We've renamed it a little bit. we've called it the Calm Down Son.
Calm Down Son.
It's just a knock on. The over celebrators.
Yeah.
Who love giving a bit of shit. Maybe it's a rub on the head. Maybe it's a screaming in your face. Maybe it's a bit of just over celebrating.
Like a massive clap for, you know, kicking it to touch.
Out just, in the full.
Yeah, just...
Oh, yeah, not necessarily. Yeah, it could be your own team.
Remember the one that got me recently? Where he's a nominee. James Lowe.
Our first nominee. James Lowe, Irishman. I honestly don't mean... I'm not trying to give people shit here.
Plays for Ireland.
He's an Irish citizen, I'm sure.
Yeah, but... Is he an Irishman? If you got Australian citizenship... Would you call yourself an Australian?
I lived in China for 7 years. Imagine if I got Chinaman. Mark Morgan.
Chinaman just saying that feels racist. I don't know why. You can't say Chinaman. Stop it.
Yeah, I don't know why. We just got demonetized. It's on your channel.
Yeah, fuck. Oh, that'll be my third. That's right, you're out. No, the one that cracked me up this year, because he always does a few every year.
Yeah.
But there was a kicking battle against the All Blacks, and then he just slightly wins the territory battle by like 10, 15 metres, and then just, to the crowd.
He was trying to pump the crowd up.
And you're just like...
He's trying to get the crowd behind the team.
Yeah. Is he the lead singer? Like,
James Lowe from Ireland.
Plays for Ireland.
Tupou Vaa'i. From New Zealand.
Yeah,
he's become our villain. Yeah, he's been getting tweets about him.
We didn't have that category this year either.
Oh.
Best heel.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is similar.
Yeah, okay. Tupou Vaa'i, I feel a little bit sorry
for... Kevin Peterson tweeted about him.
Yeah, he did. Fucking Kevin, take your switch heading up your ass.
Englishman, Kevin Peterson.
Okay, well, he's a South African, but played for England. Okay, the thing about him is all throughout the year, whenever he plays any game of rugby, whether it's NPC, International, Super Rugby.
When was the last time he played NPC?
I don't know. He's smiling. He looks
loves
like
his rugby.
If you saw him down at the supermarket, he'd be going, yeah, and like he's a happy looking bloke, and like you can see even when something's going wrong for his team, he's still got that look on his face. And then,
defending him because he's a New Zealander.
I've just tried to watch him. He doesn't play for other than the All Blacks.
He doesn't play for your team.
Yeah, but I just noticed. But whenever it gets in an international test match and something goes right for his team, he looks at the player who's fucked up and goes, but he keeps the same expression on his face, and it looks like he's being the biggest in the world.
You just said the C bomb.
What's the time?
103.
Oh, jeez. He looks like he's being a real douche.
Bleep that.
Yeah. And yeah, he looks like he's being a real piece of crap. And
a real cunt.
Yeah.
I just gave you more work.
Yeah. But that's just his face all the time. All the time. Yeah. But he does. He likes it.
He's got a C-bomb face.
He does. He's got a C-bomb face, especially. But he does like a bit of niggle, and I think he does lean into it a little bit in those moments.
He does. Marnie Libok from South Africa.
It's just on one event he really got
penalized. He's done a little bit before, but he got penalized in particular for a bit of spray in that Ireland game down on the face of Josh van der Vleer.
Yeah.
Yep. And Ben Earl loves a good like.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
100%. Like
he's a passionate Englishman.
He's the type of guy that will celebrate when he's got like when he gets his McDonald's order and there's like he finishes his chips and he looks in the bag. There's
a couple of extra chips in the
and
bottom.
There's some bag chips. It's like yes, bag chips. To be fair, bag chips can be pretty sweet.
Pretty great.
Yeah. A bit of bag chips.
Who's our winner?
Oh yeah, that's my job. The 2CGD for Calm Down Sun this year goes to Ben Earl.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I think he could have won it last year as well, to be honest with you.
This is true.
Ben Earl wasn't able to make it this year, unfortunately. But
yes!
Accepting in his stead is Mark Morgan, co-host of 2Cents Constricted, also has his own YouTube channel, 2Cents Rugby. Please go subscribe. Fantastic.
We still have, what is it, three categories left. We have one which is a new category.
Yes.
It's a Tony nomination because of your special relationship with
South Africa.
South Africa.
Yeah.
You have a love-hate relationship with South Africa.
I fucking love South Africa. I don't have any of me that... I get a lot of hate from South Africa, and I'm not a scrum fan. Because I don't like scrums does not mean... I hate South Africa.
No, but people take it that way.
They do. I get a lot of... Tony clearly hates South Africa. There's so many South Africans here, and they're the nicest, most genuine, cool
you
people.
You played golf with a South African.
Yeah, it was a subscriber. He listens to the podcast, and he was a wicked dude.
He didn't know that John Kuhn played for the All Blacks.
Yeah.
He's like, he's just some prick who's a loudmouth
exactly.
on the internet.
We talked about rugby. What else are you listening to? He said, sometimes I listen to that one with Victor Matfield and that John Kerwin guy.
Springbok legend Victor Matfield and that loudmouth Kiwi John Kerwin.
And then he got so many louder. It was like, said something derogatory about John Kerwin, which I'm not defending John Kerwin or anything. He had some pretty outrageous takes on things or whatever, but it's his particular style. And then I just happened to say, but shit, he was a hell of a player. And he wasn't, maybe 8 years or something younger than me.
Okay.
And then just went, what? He was like, did he play rugby?
Because he was a player who was good when we were children.
Yeah. And he was like, did he play rugby? And I was like, he's fucking John Kerwin.
Yeah.
He was the rugby player that everyone of our generation wanted to be.
The reverse of this, I think, would be... Maybe Habana. Like if my son Habana had a better record than Kerwin and whatnot, but you know what I mean, like in terms of like Rugby World Cup try scoring whatnot, you know, but like my son saw Habana on a pundit's show and was like, geez, that Habana's got some opinions.
Yeah,
and I was
exactly.
like, oh, but he was a speedster. Oh, did he play rugby?
Yeah, exactly. John Kerwin, even if you don't like his opinion, scored one of the greatest ever World Cup tries.
Yeah.
And it's a big reason that the World Cup like got noticed as a world event for
it was
that
against Italy right?
Yeah, that try where he beats the entire team. It's
incredible. He's
a little bit outrageous, yeah. And he ran on instinct. Was an incredible player. Had an amazing swerve. Was big and powerful. First modern professional rugby player. No, rugby winger type. He wasn't in the professional era. Ended up playing for the league. Played for the Warriors in the end of his career, but just a fucking amazing player, really was. But anyway, this had nothing to do with this was best performance by a South African.
We have Sasha Feinberg Ngomozulu for his wizardry against the All Blacks.
So
in
this
Wellington.
Is not this is not most valuable Safa.
This is a different category.
Yeah, this is.
We have multiple South African related categories. This one is. I just want to make it clear for the record. This is Tony's category. So Sasha. for the wizardry against the All Blacks.
Such a good player. God, I wish he played for us.
The Springboks front row for the absolute obliteration of the Irish.
Yeah, Dublin. I loved every minute of it. It was so good.
All 20 times.
It was absolute cinema.
Andre Esterhazen for his hybrid role against the French.
Yeah.
And then an off-the-field role.
But just as equally important.
For Stevie P from the Forever Sports YouTube channel.
Yes.
For his live stream of the Wallabies against South Africa game.
Just thought he didn't.
For his performance on camera.
Yeah, just great. Just really good professional like performance.
What did you like about that, Tony?
I liked the way he was passionate.
He's a passionate.
He's very informed. And
he's got a great channel.
Hold it. We'll talk. So let's just announce our winner.
Okay.
Who could it be?
Who could it be? Maybe Sasha.
It's hard to pass.
Sasha is an incredible player. It had to be a hell of a
performance otherwise. Okay. So best performance by Safa in 2025. The 2CGD goes to... Wow. Stevie P gets it. Stevie P from Forever Sports. Good one, Stevie P. Stevie P turned down the RSB and actually wrote a mean note about it, but I didn't know he didn't. But he couldn't make it this evening. Accepting on his behalf will be Mark Morgan, one of the co-hosts of 2 Cents Gets Distracted, also has his own YouTube
radio channel. Stevie. We love your YouTube channel.
We do. You're doing a great job. We do.
Personally, I love he does the press conferences as well.
Oh, yeah, he does so much.
I love pre-match, post-match press conferences. Yeah. And they're always up on his channel, so I really love that stuff.
He does.
Genuinely.
He does. I don't
watch his live streams, but Tony told me to watch that one. And that I can feel him.
It's so good.
Because his team is up and he's loving it.
He's just like,
and he's like,
cooking it up, boys. The boxer up
by so much. He's singing their praises.
He's loving it.
And then it all comes crashing and burning. And there is something about watching that kind of train wreck, which is funny to watch.
We might put a little,
but it might be happening here. I will say, and I'll link this to a Gazza moment. The first time we lost to Argentina.
Yeah.
I was doing a live stream with my dad. So Gaz is there. We're doing a live stream. We're getting beaten by fucking Argentina for the first time. And right towards the end of the game, Gazza says, at least we're going to get a bonus point. And I was like, what the fuck? Bonus point? We're losing to Argentina. So I had my own, I don't know if it was a full-on meltdown, but yes.
You had your own moment.
I had my own moment. So live streaming moments can happen.
100%. And yeah. I've done only a couple of live streams and I'm pretty passionate whenever I've done them as well. And I jumped into a couple of yours this year. And like, it was just so fucking enjoyable to watch. Yeah. Just because I was backing Australia because everyone loves an underdog and all that sort of thing. And the scale, it was best test of the year for God's sake.
Yeah.
And just the way he was... he's so knowledgeable and he's so devoted and he's such a big Springbok fan. He's so passionate about it. And just how much he was enjoying it. He was doing the whole, we'll let him cook, boys. We're cooking up tonight. And just really, really enjoy it. And just seeing they've just scored a try there. That's somewhat irritating, but I guess it can't be a perfect half of football.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a pretty good looking... That's a great start for the Wallabies. Looks like it won't be as much of a runaway as we thought it might be. And then just total absolute collapse from there.
Yep.
It was great. Great watching and just so enjoyable for your viewers, especially your neutrals or your Australian fans.
Yep.
Yeah. Keep doing it. We do appreciate it.
I've been there, Stevie. I've been there.
He's different to you.
Well, he's full on.
Yeah, he's a great caller. He's
for sure.
Like
he does play by play.
Yeah, like
Hamish are the best play by play guys for sure.
Hamish is my favorite YouTube commentator because we've got a long standing relationship with Hamish. He's a great man. I'm not saying Stevie's not, but Hamish does an outstanding job. But Hamish,
that's Kiwi lads, Hamish.
Yeah, Hamish is incredible at being completely
neutral.
Stevie
wears his heart on his sleeve.
Yeah. It's weird. And like sometimes when the Australian, like, I give Hamish shit sometimes. I'm like, dude,
well, Bucks are winning. Be happy. Yeah. We're losing. Be sad.
And he's just like, and I'm like, are you upset? He's like, I just want to see.
I want to see a good game.
He's like a AI.
Yeah.
Kiwi AI calling the game and without emotion towards which way it goes. Whereas, you know, and you might view that as I think it's just amazing of him, but like I also think it's equally amazing just to watch a fan just really, really pour their love into their team, which he clearly does.
Yes.
You know, it, like he does. If you're a Bok fan and you want to watch really, really high quality Bok takes, it's very much a spring Bok
theme channel for sure.
Yeah.
Forever Sports. You can't go wrong.
Indeed. And you're well done. We'll get that sent out to you, Stevie P. It's Stevie P, isn't it?
I don't actually know. I just know him as the Forever Sports guy.
I think his name's Stevie P.
Okay.
If I'm getting that wrong, I apologize.
Penultimate category is a sentimental one for mine because it's 12 out of 20 category.
12 out of 20.
If you don't know about 12 out of 20, this goes back to my dad, who's now my late dad, with his referee takes.
Yeah.
He's the king of the halftime referee review.
Yeah.
I would be doing live streams of my own and people will tune in and just be asking, is Gazza doing his halftime referee chat?
The great thing about your old man is he is the ultimate everyman, and everyman likes to have a bit of a take on the referee. I mean, like, this bloke doesn't know what he's fucking doing, you know?
Call
like,
the offside, for fuck's sake.
Exactly. We're doing it all day, ref.
Yeah.
You know, and like we don't want to get into it. We're in an era where you don't want to be like too negative. We don't want to take on one person or anything like that. But he would give his objective opinion on every refereeing performance that he would see. Sorry, I'm talking about your father. You know him. But my favorite thing about him, he would give his opinion. It would be positive or negative, and then the outcome
was almost inevitably, I would say 95% of the time.
Yeah, I'd never heard a different one. Outcome
was the same. I think he gave an 11, and I think he's given a 13.
Right, I'd never heard them.
The things I love about it is why my dad is rating the referees out of 20 instead of out of 10. I have no fucking idea.
6 out of 10 doesn't sound as good.
Why is he saying 12 out of 20 instead of 6 out of 10? That's Gazza.
Yeah.
And why is it like, well, he's doing a really good job. He's keeping control of the game. 12 out of 20 compared to like, wow, this fucker doesn't know the offside lines. He's just been letting them run riot. 12 out of 20.
Yeah.
I don't really get it, but that's my dad.
100%.
So he was consistent.
Can I do my impression of him giving a positive 12 out of 20 and a negative 12 out of 20?
You can.
Brian O'Keefe, look, what can you say about the bloke? He's been around the bloody block now. I've seen him for a while, and it's a wet night out there, but bloody hell. Like, some of these bloody calls. Like, it's a tough game to referee, but there's been some calls that I've just had to say, well, I don't know, but 12 out of 20.
That's pretty Gazza.
That's the negative?
Yep.
Ah, and then who should get the positive? Give me the referee.
He liked Angus Gardner.
Okay. It's a dry track. He would talk about the weather. Like, it's a dry track out there. It's great to see. I've lost my track here. But he would say basically, like, doing well. 12 out of 20.
Yeah, you would be expecting a higher score.
Yeah, you're thinking, oh, he's really pumping him up here.
Yeah, he's bringing them up. It's going to be a 13 maybe if he's pushing it. Almost never.
Yeah.
I remember one guy one guy on a live stream was like, if he gives anything but a 12 out of 20, I'll give you 50 bucks. And he gave a 13.
Oh, wow.
And the guy paid up.
Yeah.
I think that was Frankie. But anyway.
It's hard to do Gazza impressions now he's passed away. Now I feel like, oh, God.
Four nominees. We've gone with some of kind of the more high profile refereeing decisions this year. James Dolman.
We're not down to your local rugby park.
For the box against Italy game, the Moss Dirt red card, which got rescinded the next week. Clearly, Rossi wasn't happy. The fans weren't happy.
Pretty poor call.
Pretty poor call from the Kiwi ref.
Yeah.
Andrea Piatti. Lions versus Wallabies.
That's cool. Shook the world.
On the line, late game. There's a Jack Morgan cleanout on Carlo Tozzano.
If you were an Australian, you were...
livid.
You were absolutely dead cert that that should have been called back for a penalty, maybe, and probably a yellow card. If you were...
the Aussies complained about it after the game.
If you were a British and Australia, no, British and Irish Lions fan, you were thinking to yourself, that cleanout happens every day of the week. And if you were a neutral, you were just thinking to yourself... oh, man, I really wish that was called a penalty because I would really like game three to mean something.
Be a decider, that's right. Yeah. Third one is the entire officiating team for the Ireland match against the All Blacks, where Tyke Byrne ends up getting red carded, which again gets rescinded.
For me, it was like just the screen not working, the absolute yes. Mickey Mouse of it. The fact that the guy couldn't just say, yeah, he's taking him high, just give a penalty there, bud.
Yeah, it was all a real cluster, that one. And then... casting our minds back to the Six Nations, which seems like a long time ago now, but pre-Pierre Brousset, I think it was, in the Scotland against England match. England scored a try through Tommy Freeman. I'm pretty sure he just gave it on the field and didn't even TMO it. He was like, I saw it, it's grounded. And then everyone was asking, well, it doesn't look grounded to me. Scottish fans who basically say every Six Nations they're due at least one call that fucks them over.
They got that one.
For them, against, that was the call.
Yeah, and then the year before they had...
France.
I thought it was England. Was it France?
France scored a try. Yeah.
It's shite being Scottish. So the 12 out of 20 award in memory of the great Gazza goes to Andre Piatti for his call on Jack Morgan. We're not saying it's the wrong call. We're just saying it was a
we really wish it that had gone the other way.
I really wish it would get the other way, but because
that would have been nice three, to have a game three decider.
A spicy game three decider would have been huge.
Would have loved a bit of spice. Yeah,
so Andre Piatti, we unable to get a hold of him. Couldn't even get a hold of him. Couldn't even get his email address.
Maybe he doesn't speak English. He's Italian.
I think he speaks English.
He speaks rugby English.
Yeah. No, no, you're okay. You're okay, freak. Things like that. Stop that.
To be fair, I don't speak Italian.
Mamma mia. So, I'm sorry. I feel like I'm off tonight. Anyway, accepting this 2CGD on his behalf is Mark Morgan.
Cheers, Andrea.
Mark Morgan is one of the co-hosts of Two Cents Gets Distracted.
Do that every time.
And also, you have your own YouTube channel, don't you? Two Cents Rugby.
There's 100,000 subscribers.
Yes, congratulations, everyone. You can keep that one.
Okay.
Back off.
Fuck you, Andrea. It's mine.
Well, congratulations on that. Thank brilliant you. Stuff.
We have one category to go.
Last category.
It is a 2CGD.
Is it a staple of
a the, staple of the of,
the, the big of the big night? And some would say
the most prestigious.
The most prestigious.
We've had Rossi Rasmus nominated for this one, and yet he's never won it.
He hasn't been able to pull it up. Oxenshay previously.
Oxenshay's been nominated. Has still never won this award. This is a very exclusive reward.
The
reward
most
award.
The most exclusive award that we probably have. And every year comes down to the wire. We have, like, we start talking about it earlier in the year. And we say, look, this guy's got the inside track on this. And you come back with another name. Left fields are thrown in there. Then... we're up. It's about a 12-hour debate before we actually make our mind up on it, and it's tough. It's one of those decisions that rocks the rugby world.
It is.
It is.
It is the reward for most valuable Saffa. They're a big contributor to the rugby world right now.
They are
the people that need to just lead the way in terms of drawing in new fans.
Exactly. And show us your scrumming ways.
Well, not just the scrums, but just. They're the poster boys of the game right now.
Yeah. They're definitely the best.
Sasha, if anybody, is the poster boy of South African rugby.
He's a good looking rooster.
Fuck, he speaks well. Have you seen him?
You've
seen him on the rugby field, but he speaks so well off the field in terms of being a role model.
Mm.
Like, he's literally talked about being a role model. He's so modest. He's like, I don't know what he's got wrong with him.
I feel like,
I'm getting a boner for some Sasha.
Have you ever said that on YouTube ever?
I don't think so. That's a first, and I've made a lot of rugby videos.
And he's had a boner a lot of them, but he's never admitted them.
He seems to be a very incredible human being and a very incredible rugby player. Sasha Feinbergen Gomezulu.
And he wants to leave the most valuable Saffa. Yes. Yeah. Look, he's a strong candidate.
We have another one who's at the he's not maybe not quite the sex appeal. He's not the poster boy.
Some people are into that sort of thing.
But Wilco Lowe.
He's already won an award this evening.
He's already won an award. Could he go home with a double? Because he's part of that big Bok pack.
100%.
We have South African Tony Brown for playing that Tony ball. He's an honorary South African.
Yeah, they love him.
For
they
working with Russi, adding a bit of that 100%. Magic spicy sauce to their attack.
Yeah.
And then the incumbent.
The incumbent. But look, he's won two in a row.
It's a tough one.
It's a tough one. And look, I'll be honest, he hasn't been as active this year.
There's been some reasons for that.
Yeah, but there has been.
YouTube sensation. If you haven't checked them out, you are missing out.
You got to.
Made a
is
very.
Is Stevie P again?
No. Oh. It's the other one. Rian Lowe.
Rian Lowe.
We've got two Lowe's. The 50% chance.
I've got goosebumps. I'm excited about this one this year.
It's exclusive.
Now, who's going to win it? It couldn't be the three-peat, could it?
Unbelievable if it happens.
If it happens. Because we don't know. We have to just cast our votes into it's like a dial-up modem system from 1995, and then we send it into there. Then it goes offshore into a Swiss accounting system, and it comes back to us just to verify that the decision was made. There's a lot of algorithms and things that go into this. It's a big decision. You ready?
I'm ready.
So for most valuable Saffra of 2025, the 2CGD goes to, you wouldn't believe it, Rian Lowe.
Oh, it's the three-peat.
The three-peat. He does it again.
Unbelievable.
Oh.
He's quite the human being.
Now, Rian, we would love you to be here in person, but he's just moved. He moved house.
He's moved house.
Moved house. And like,
he's had a lot going on.
You've got something sad in common with him now.
Yeah, you both lost our fathers this year, and he's been powering through that as well. So yeah. He made a beautiful tribute together as well.
It was stunning.
Yeah. You're a sweet guy, Rian, and we love your videos.
We do. He's a beautiful man, and I'm sure he's got two or three kids.
I think two.
Did he have? He had another little did bub. He? Yeah.
No way. Has he got three kids?
If you got three kids, you're
he's
a man.
He's got three 2CGDs. That's what we do know.
100%. Yeah, yeah. Look, I.
If you're one of those non-South African fans,
yeah,
and you think like, man, all these South African guys on Facebook are pricks. Because there's a lot of Facebook generally has a lot of pricks.
Yeah, it's just pricks everywhere.
But
it's a lot of dong.
Go watch
there.
Rian's channel. The dude is a classy South African.
And like he doesn't,
loves his rugby.
He
loves his family.
He doesn't take any pot shots at anybody.
No.
And he is just really, really good, funny stuff.
It's good humor.
And like he knows his rugby. And yeah, we send our condolences to him.
Mm.
Lost his father, as far as I'm aware, relatively suddenly, which must have been really, really tough to deal with.
Mm.
But yeah, wonderful man. I always secretly, can I be honest with you? I secretly hope one day that he emails one day and goes, Tony, I'm decided with me and the family, we're moving to Browns Bay.
That would be great.
We say Browns Bay because that's where all the South Africans live.
Either that or like Pakuranga.
Pakuranga. A lot of Howick, Fair and Howick. They're all over the shop. Really?
Not so much in West Auckland. Not that many.
Sick view.
It's not on my street.
My daughter is friends with a Kiwi girl, but then I meet her folks and they go there for birthday parties and they're like, I've just got some bollywood on the barbie.
You know, I went to the Santa...
my South African accent, it's
I went
gone.
To the Santa parade yesterday
on
Queen Street and there were people setting up chairs and stuff. There was this couple... who had actual dining chairs. Like this is on the middle of our main street in Auckland. And I heard
that. Is this still as I haven't been to a Santa Cruz.
And they were
so
drinking
long.
Beers and I was like, you're not allowed to drink beers on Queen Street. And then I eavesdropped for a little bit. They're South Africans who live in an apartment. They just brought their chairs down and started drinking some beers. I was like, you South Africans are legends. And they were talking about rugby. The guy was saying to his wife, Wales are not very good at the moment. So
Yeah.
You guys love your rugby.
They really are all about their rugby. They have Bok Fridays where you're allowed to wear your Springbok kit.
Nice.
To work.
We love
So you can put this one next to your other two.
Out in Joburg.
You're the man, Rian. We appreciate you. And we should somehow involve him in the podcast.
At some point.
In some
he is a three-time 2CGD winner.
No one's won that many. Nobody.
Not even me.
Rusty didn't even get a domination this year.
That's unbelievable.
Tony Brown snuck the coaching spot. Yes. Yeah, wow, fantastic. All right, well, that brings to an end on that bombshell, the 2CGDs for 2025. A fourth 2CGDs. We finish every year with
the 2CGDs.
Mm.
Just a way to really...
It's a big, illustrious night, and I know the whole rugby community really looks forward to it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's one of those things that I don't think I've seen mentioned anywhere else on social media.
Rian has it on his flair Reddit. It's the only place I ever see
and
it.
And I've seen it on his as we see he calls himself award-winning, and he's cut the label a couple of little shots. Rian, you're keeping the GCGDs alive.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. Yeah, yeah. But we do really, really thoroughly appreciate everybody who watches, who listens, who engages.
Especially all the ones who say the guy in the hat's a dick and he hates rugby and he's the guy
watching.
We watch
both
league.
Wear hats. We both wear this guy.
But only one of us is a dick.
He's a real piece of shit. It just doesn't show on camera. I'm my true self.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But no, we thoroughly, thoroughly appreciate everybody who watches.
Mm.
It's a little podcast, but we keep on trucking along and keep on doing our thing. And we have we start with a hiss and a roar every year with the Six Nations. Mm. Then we have the hardest bit of the year is that period where it's just Super Rugby.
And we like Super Rugby.
We like Super Rugby, but it's like there are a shit ton of games every week. And you got to have a take on every game, and you got a bunch of other shit going on, and you get the least engagement on that. In that
Test period. Rugby is where it's at.
Test rugby is where it's at in terms of engagement. But yeah, we do, and those people who enjoy the rugby chat, that's great, and people who just enjoy us fucking
talking shit.
We do appreciate you guys.
We'll be back next year.
Yes.
There's that Nations League thing going on next year as well. So it's going to be a different year. We've got the greatest rivalry. So you get a chance to anger some more South African fans.
Oh, God. Can you imagine? I love South
Africa.
A lot
of them still like you with the banter.
I have opinions. Sometimes I just come in and they do amazing things and they're showing all sorts of innovative wrinkles and stuff like that. And I'm like, and it's honestly a relief. I'm just like, I can fucking say good things about the South African style of play. And people are, and they love that. They like it. And I'm just being honest. But I have watched rugby my entire life. And I've never enjoyed thousands of reset scrums. And like just the whole game being around the scrum. So when I have to say that, I'm like, I don't know. But it's my honest opinion. Like if somebody said to me, what would be the best way to grow a YouTube channel? And like I don't care about what I have to say. What's the best way to grow it? I would say fucking rim South Africa. Like just talk about how great South Africa is and how amazing their performances are and how everything they do is incredible. And they will absolutely love it. They will, especially if you're a foreigner, they will absolutely, that would be the best way to go. But it's not, is that, I feel like that's disingenuous. So you got to be yourself.
So you're trying to be yourself.
Exactly. And I love South Africa.
He genuinely doesn't hate South Africa.
I really, really, I made a video.
I seem to remember him, well, firstly, he did make a video about the special relationship between New Zealand and South Africa.
Yes.
And I seem to remember
why it's so special.
Just for a bit of context, that game we won against the Argentinians earlier in the year when we just forward dominated them, I seem to remember you were just like, man, our backline's shit. This is fucking bullshit. I don't like watching this.
He's
fairly even-handed, I think.
Yeah.
But he has opinions.
100%.
He's allowed them.
You know what? One of the things.
You don't have to like it. If you don't like it, give him some shit in the comments.
Yeah, exactly.
He actually likes that too.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I know.
I just don't read it.
You don't like it.
I've got
you're quite, you find it quite hard to deal because you get so much unrelenting positive comments that you have to like, when you get a little bit of negativity, when you say like, that was a bit of a weird game and you were like, Mark, it's just a small minority. Yeah. You had to like talk yourself through it.
Yeah, because people were going,
dude, lean into it. It's all good.
Okay. Yeah. Shit.
Yeah. No, but you don't want to be like a professional. Like, there's a guy, Mark Watto or whatever his name is, who's just like, or the like of Ben Smith or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Who are just professional instigators.
Oh, right. That's just the other end of the scale. That could also be a success for a successful YouTube channel. Yeah,
if you just
gave the Springboks shit.
I did take a stab at that with Hateful Heath.
Oh, yeah. You never followed through, though.
Hateful Heath was probably my favorite video of all time. It's probably my least viewed video of all time. Hateful Heath was real fun to make.
I think we're rambling now.
Yes. Yes, we are. But yeah, thank you so much for watching.
Yes, we appreciate you being here for the vast majority of the year. Yeah. We will be back come Six Nations time.
We will. 40 episodes, I think, this year. Or 39 or 40.
Appreciate you being here. Appreciate the bands.
Yeah. Appreciate you, dude. Thank you for turning up every week.
Thank you for hosting and setting all the shit up. And
you helped set it up, so it's all good.
I'm tired today.
Yeah. Well, you're writing all the nominees and all that sort of stuff. Apart from Most Valuable Saffa, which has to go into a whole
different... That's true, because it's a special process.
It does.
Special sauce.
Special process. Anyway, good on you, Mark. Well done.
Thank you, pal. We love you, folks. Thank you for being here.
All right. Hooroo. Hadida. Take care. Bye-bye.